Good morning. Thank you for the privilege of being with you this morning and also be able to share just one or two things. It's always good to see people and to wonder, but what are they doing here? What is it that they want? On my heart this morning is simply, like I said, this: what keeps us going? What are we doing here? What do we want to achieve? I mean, it's one thing to come to Bible college and to study and become clever. I want to say, clever devil also you can become. You know the Bible so well, but what will the outcome of all activity be like? Yesterday there was a Supreme Court in Durban in a divorce matter, and you know, we also pray there. You won't believe it, but we pray, because on the papers you will have a prayer. For example, wherefore I pray for judgment against the defendant for payment of such and such a sum, the cost of the suit, see alternative legal aid. So that's a prayer, and I pray that because my application is in order, for my processes are all in order, and because they're in order, the outcome I want is that you grant judgment in my favor, or that you make the order, declare the marriage is now finished, it's all over. Things are happening like this. I want to ask you this morning, what do you want to achieve by being here, by studying? What is your real purpose? Let me try to focus on something and maybe you will understand better. There was a time when a young man, he was well-to-do. He was not only rich, he was also a leader in the community. Those who are much older than him, they recognize that he's somebody that we can look up to. So he came because he had a need. And maybe the need was, there was where his heart is supposed to be. Maybe there's a God-shaped vacuum. Because although he was successful and had everything that one could desire, there was an emptiness. And that emptiness brought him to the feet of Jesus. And when he was in the presence of the Lord, he asked him a question: what must I do, teacher? What must I do to inherit eternal life? Can you remember what the Lord's response was? He took him through the law, isn't it? Or a part of the law. And after hearing that, his response was, but all these things I've been doing since I was young. I lack nothing. What then do I lack? He asks. And then the Lord was really put his finger there where it counts, because he said to the man, if you really want to be blessed, if you really want to be fulfilled, if you really want to become a citizen of the kingdom of God, one thing you must do, and I think you will be able to do that if you're willing to be obedient. He said to him, well, you take all the stuff that you have, your treasures, that which you worked hard for, you go and you sell that. And once you have disposed of that, you take the proceeds of that, and what do you do with it? Go on holiday to Mauritius, or go attend Bible school at Bethania College, or... No, the Lord said, then you give it away. You give it away to the poor. In other words, you become poor like that poor man. Because if I have to give away everything I have, it means I'm going to become poor, isn't it? I will become a beggar. But I don't see myself as a beggar. So the Bible tells us that after hearing what the Lord shared with him, he went away sad, because he was a rich man, he was a wealthy man, he was a well-to-do person. In other words, he came to the position where he had to weigh up the facts and make an informed decision. And the decision that he made was, well, that which you offer me and which I have, I can't go that way. I'll keep holding on to my treasure. And he walked away sad. And the sad thing is, we don't read that the Lord Jesus was stretching forth his hand arm to him and say, "Hey, friend, come back. Come, think about it. Please come back." It doesn't say that. But instead, the Lord responded by saying, you know, riches, to be a rich person, it has its problem. You know, for a rich man to become a citizen of the kingdom of heaven needs a miracle. It needs a miracle, nothing but a miracle. And he likened the miracle to a camel going through the needle of an eye, or the eye of a needle. Like, it's impossible, and yet the Lord says, well, if you want to go there, that miracle must take place, and then the impossible would become possible. And then the disciples responded. They said, but if the standard is so high, how then shall we live? And then Peter, being Peter, he responded. Can you remember in what way Peter responded? I'm sure you have read this passage 100 times over in your life. What do you think his response was? Peter's response. Matthew 19, verse 25, if you would like to open your Bibles there. Verse 23 of Matthew 19 says, then Jesus said to his disciples, I tell you the truth, it is hard for the rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished. They were caught by surprise. They were astonished. And they asked, who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them. With man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. All means everything, in every way. All things will be possible. And then Peter, wonderful Peter, Peter answered him, we have left everything to follow you. What then will be there for us? Jesus said to them, I tell the truth. At the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses, or brothers, or sisters, or father, or mother, or children, or fields, for my sake, will what? Receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first. Let us stop here for a moment. Is there something that catches your attention when you look at the response of Peter? Something that you would like to underline? And if so, what is it? What is it that troubles you? Or what is it that you notice there in the response of Peter? You must help me now. Maybe I can preach on this on Sunday. With your help. Do you think Peter had a problem? And if he had a problem, what do you think his problem was? Maybe the problem was a need that he had. What would you think the need was, or the problem? I mean, after all, he was a follower of the Lord Jesus. What did he say? He said, we have left everything to follow you. Do you think it's true? Do you think he was honest in what he said? Think about it for a moment. What would you say? I'm not playing with you now. The answer is there, I think, I believe. What is the Lord saying to you and to me? Yesterday I had to think about it in court. My Lord, we also address the judge as my Lord, I pray that you will grant us the following orders, A, B, and C. I pray. Why? Because my application is in order. And because my application, because my life is in order, what must the result be? That you will grant me my prayer. That you will grant me the desires of my heart, isn't it? Now, do you think Peter was honest? I think he was honest, but maybe he did not understand a few things. But what was his problem? What would you say? The Lord was trying to teach him something, because it was he was surely to be killed there on the cross, and he had to instruct. He was busy instructing those disciples, and they should continue with the work once the Lord is gone. Now he's teaching them. He wants them to understand something. And it surprises one that there was such a lack of understanding in the life of Peter. You want to say, Peter, how on earth, at this point in time, having spent so many years with the Lord and in His presence, how come that you still battle in this area of your life? The Lord said, you know, yeah, you can leave everything. Mother, father, house, children, wife, the boat, the bank accounts. You can leave them. But when you try it in your own strength, in everyday life, it's not going to work, you see. Peter, don't you understand that miracle also needs to take place in your life? Can you imagine what Peter's reaction was? I mean, the Lord spoke to the rich man in their presence. They heard the conversation. I wonder what were the thoughts that were uppermost in his mind as that man walked away. Peter said, hey, brethren, I'm so happy I'm not like him. There he goes. What will happen to him? So stupid. So stupid. And yet, I think he was in the same shoes compared to that man. It was nothing different. Because Peter, at the end of the day, also wants the reward, isn't it? I'm in this, I'm doing this, because this is the outcome that I want. Now I'm asking you, all your hard work, all the studying, the way we live, what is it that you actually want? What is it that you need? What is it, if you can ask one thing of the Lord this morning, what would you ask Him for? And because he did not understand, the Lord responded again. And he spoke like a parable. He said there was a landowner. So the focus is on the landowner, not on the workers that he's going to hire. But he went to the marketplace and he hired somebody right early in the day. And he said, come and work for me, I'll pay you 1 denarius. You come. 3 hours later, he repeated the same process. Went back to the marketplace and he hired some. 3 hours later, the same process. And then 1 hour before knock-off time, towards prayer time, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, towards that. An hour before that, actually, before the day was over for the workers, he went again and he hired somebody. And also for the denarius. We know that from the response. And then when the work was finished, the Lord said to his paymaster, said to you, now you pay these people, but I want you to pay the ones that came last. I want you to pay them first. And then the ones who worked the longest and the hardest in the sun and they battled, you pay them last. And then what happened in the hearts of those who hired first when they saw, but that last guy, he gets the same. 1 denarius. What was their response? What would your response have been? Hmm? upset, isn't it? We are like that, you know. I'm working here, I'm happy, I've agreed that I will work for such and such an amount per month, but you know, I'm always checking out, the latecomers. And then when they saw that, they were unhappy in their hearts. It's not that they were unhappy with their payment, with their denarius. It's not that that was not the problem. The problem was the fact that that man got the same compared to what they got. No difference. So they thought by themselves, actually, we should have been better off than them. It was not about pay. I think you will agree with me. If it was about pay, it would have been the story of the one that was hired in the morning and do a full day, and then at the end of the day get what he agreed with the landowner. But it's not that. That is not the facts that we are given. The Lord spoke about somebody going three hour cycles, going back and back. So the focus must be somewhere else. What is it then that the Lord wanted to convey to disciples through this story that he told them? What is it? Maybe something similar to the eye of the needle? Something extraordinary that must happen? Nothing but a miracle? Now, in biblical language, what would that be? What was it that the Lord was teaching his people? You are reformed.
Yeah.
Just one thing. Will you agree with me when I say teaching about just simply grace? The landowner, I mean, the money belongs to him. It's his farm. It's his possession. His money, surely he can do with it what he wants. If he wants to pay this one that much and that one that, that's his business, with nothing to do with us. So it's all about grace. Just about grace. I can't work for it, I can't earn it, what good thing must I do to inherit it? Nothing of that kind. Pure grace. Pure grace. So when I understand that, and when I understand that it's pure grace, then I will clearly understand, but then my life does no longer belong to myself. Then I will be satisfied in my heart. I will come to rest in the fact that, or I'm comforted by this one thing, like the Catechism says in the first question, what is my only comfort in life and in death? What is the answer?
They're
not my own. That I don't no longer belong to myself, but that I belong to my Savior Jesus Christ, who has died on the cross of Calvary for me. But to know that, to come to that point where you know and understand, but I don't belong to myself anymore, it means that now I'm in a place where He can have His way in my life. The Lord can interfere, He can push me around, He can do whatever He wants. It means that I have no conditions attached. When I'm employed, it's not on my conditions. It's unconditional. Unconditional. I've laid down everything. Everything. He can do with me what He wants. Can He do it with you? Or are there conditions attached? Maybe just longing for reward. Following the Lord because you know I will have good life, will go well with my children. If I live a godly life, I will be happily married. If I live a godly life, if I go to church regularly, you know, then it must go well with me. Then I won't face hardships in life. Life will be smooth. The point is, life is not smooth. Life is happening all the time, isn't it? And many things are happening around us that it's upsetting, it's hard, it's like eating bitter herbs and drinking salt water. Now, for me then, to allow the Lord to have everything, it means that I have to come to rest in Him. come to the place where I realize it be a grace. And may the Lord also be with you, especially as you tie things together for the remainder of this term, as you study hard. Just think about it. For whom am I studying? What is my purpose for studying? And maybe when you realize that, even that is pure grace, it will bring about a change of heart, an attitude change. And suddenly maybe you will find it is as if, oh, is this what it is about? Now I can see. Yesterday I couldn't see, but something changed. That miracle has taken place. That transformation has taken place. May the Lord be with you. And may your studies, may they bring you great joy as you do that for Him and for Him only. So that one day, when the time has come, He can do with you and me also just whatever you like. May the Lord be with you. May. Shall we pray together? Lord Jesus, thank you so much for your precious word. Thank you that you have written down these things for us to ponder about. Just to think, Lord, for me to become poor, to see myself as a sundown sitting there by the wayside, somebody that is called Dochos, somebody who is so useless, who can do nothing except sitting there by the wayside and collecting something from a passerby. Grant us that insight and understanding, Lord, so that we can be like that. Because after all, Matthew 5:3, you said, this is the first foundation. That's where the blessing lies. To be like that. To be like that person, knowing how he has to depend on you. Grant us that insight. Be with your children, Lord. You guide them, you direct their steps. We pray that you will give them all the wisdom and the insight, especially, Lord, to know and to be able to discern which parts of the work are more important than others. Where must my focus be? How shall I prepare for your glory and for your honor? Be with them, Lord. Keep them in the order of your hand. In your precious name we ask this. Amen. Thank you very much.